So the title of this message is Raised with Christ. It's a lot of echo, a lot of echo in my end. I don't know if that's coming out in yours, but it's a lot of, yeah. Raised with Christ is the title of this message. The passage I read at the very beginning of service was that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. And we're going to talk about that today. Understand this and understand this completely from the beginning. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. He died for you. He died for me. Every song we sang was about that. It was personal. It was personal. If you haven't embraced that today, there's still time for you to do that. Don't wait. Don't wait. Well, there'll be more invitations given for that. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20 all relay the details of the disciples' discovery as they went to the tomb and they found the stone rolled away, found the tomb was empty, and they were told that Jesus had in fact been raised from the dead. He did that for you. He did that for me. And he had promised them that that's what was going to happen. So, but in this message today, we're going to explore. Okay. We're going to explore what the scriptures say about us if we have in fact received that free gift. That gift of salvation, that gift of forgiveness of sins, if we've received that, if we have embraced the account of his life, his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and receive salvation through that sacrifice. Let me state up front, Acts 4:12. I don't have it up here, but Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. No one else, only Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we may be saved. We must be saved only through Jesus. Last couple of weeks, in our Men of Valor class, we've had a young man in there in his 20s, a young man, a father. And he's explained his newfound salvation this way. I grew up here. He grew up here at Abundant Life Fellowship. I grew up here learning about Jesus and knowing about him. But only until recently have I discovered, as I've surrendered my life to him and received from him, have I understood how transformative the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. I am being changed day by day as I pursue him. What was interesting is I was writing this in my message on Thursday. And as I was writing that Thursday morning, I got a text from another man who is among us today who said this: I surrendered my life to Jesus yesterday. I asked him to take claim of me as his son. I hadn't really ever done that before. And already life is changing for the better. Yeah. Yeah, applaud that. It's real. It's real. And if you're in this room and you haven't done that, two men testifying, I've known about him. I've heard about him. I've been here. But I finally said yes to him. And my life is changing because of it. In his message 3 weeks ago, Pastor Ben Cope talked in great detail about, number one, how we are co-crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, in this physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Co-crucified with Christ. Pastor Ben told us that 3 weeks ago. He also said, we're co-buried with him. Romans 6:4, we were buried with him through baptism into death.
And then he said this, we're co-resurrected with him. And this is the core of today's message. What's it mean to be co-resurrected with Jesus? And the core verse is this. Colossians 3, 1 through 3, Paul's words to the church at Colossae. Since you have been raised with Christ. Now let me say this before I even go any further. If you haven't not received Jesus yet, these words don't apply to you. But they can. They can even apply to you today. They don't apply to you if you haven't received Jesus. But I want to encourage you. If they apply to you, then we have to do what it says. If they don't apply to you, don't wait. Don't wait. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Co-resurrected with him. So this morning we're going to have a little Easter morning grammar lesson out of these passages. Some of you may have hated grammar. Maybe you hated English. I'm a grammar nerd. I'm a word nerd. Just a nerd. Okay. But in grammar, there's a thing called indicative mood or statement and imperative mood or statement. I actually have the little lesson right up here. Indicative mood or imperative mood. An indicative statement states facts. An imperative statement gives directions about what we're to do as a result of those facts. The scriptures are full of indicative statements and they're full of imperative statements. Let's look at the verses we just read and talk about the facts set forth in Colossians 3, 1 to 3. The facts. You have been raised with Christ. It's a fact if you've received him. If you haven't, do it today. He loves you. He died for you. Fact number two, based on the scripture, indicative statement. You died. You died. I remember, and I read the verse, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. I remember a number of years ago, quite a long time ago, being at a Bible study at a man named Bill Arnn's house. Some of you will know that name. I was at a Bible study, and we were looking at that verse, Galatians 2:20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. And I remember looking at the verse thinking, man, I've received Jesus, but I can't say that. There's too much of me still alive. There's too much of my will still active here. There's too much of my motivations, too much of me that still wants control. Too much of me wants to decide how I live. And even though I had received Jesus, I had not surrendered to that point where I died. But the scripture is stated as a fact, an indicative statement, for you died when you were raised with Jesus. The old self has been crucified. I just have to cooperate with that. And to be honest, it's a lot easier when we do. Fact number three, indicative statement number three, you are hidden with him. We get to live in the shelter of his arms. He's a refuge. We get to function there. It's not oh, I'm going to church today, so I'm going to live in the refuge of him for an hour or two. No, I get to function and live there every day. Every day. The root of indicative is indicate. By simple definition, being raised with Christ, dying to self, being hidden with him, all those indicative statements indicate, give a sign to someone, give proof to someone that something's different about me. To anybody who's looking at my life, the imperative, what we do, since I've been raised with Christ, what's the imperative? Set my heart and my mind on him. On things above, by simple definition, if something is imperative, it's of vital importance. It's crucial. It's essential. It's urgent. And so there's a response. There's a response to acknowledging that if I've received Jesus and I've been raised with him, that my response, my action, my urgent action of vital importance is that I renew my mind. I set my mind on him daily, all day. I set my heart on him daily, all day. Not really an option. I mean, it is if we want to live halfway, if we want to live sort of with him and then, I'll take a little step back and do things my own way. It won't work. So when it says, since you've been raised with Christ, if that's you today, if you've surrendered to Jesus, the imperative, the thing of vital importance, the urgency, the crucial response then is to say, my heart is set on you. Whatever I have to do that, read the scriptures, pray, talk to him, worship. Make those parts of your life, because those are all just tangible actions that say to him, you've surrendered to me. You've surrendered to me. And my heart is no longer then set on earthly things, getting my own way. Focused on money. Nothing wrong with earning money. We all have to earn money to pay for things, but that's not the focus. It's not what my heart is set on. Stuff. Getting what I want when I want. Motives change. He changes our mind. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the what? The renewing of our mind. And what's awesome about that verse is the promise that's attached to it. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We get to participate with him in knowing his will. There's probably not an adult person, even young people in this room today who haven't said, man, I'd love to know what God's will is. We get to know his will. He doesn't keep it a secret from us. Let's pick this grammar lesson up with this next passage. Continuing in Colossians 3, starting with verse 5. Since we've been raised with him, since we're setting our mind and our heart on him, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. The imperative. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. We used to walk in those ways. Not one of us is exempt from that. But now, because we've been raised with Jesus, we've been raised with him, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of his creator. The imperative of urgency, because we've been raised with him. The grammar lesson continued. As a result of the facts, indicative statements, having been raised with Christ, you died or are hidden with him. The imperative statements that now act as directives are as follows. Number one, based on those verses, again, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. There's a list there. There's a list there. And it's not an exhaustive list, but it covers a lot of territory. Number two, rid yourselves of certain actions and in some cases, even certain emotions like anger. Take off the old self. Keep putting on the new self, the actions. So the summary of the grammar lesson is this. Believers in Christ are called upon to become in daily experience what they are. What they are in Christ. We're still becoming that. We haven't arrived. We're still becoming that. We put the imperatives to practice every day. We must. Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long for flesh to still want to rise up because we're still in these fleshly bodies. But as Pastor Don, you said years ago to us, you don't have to sin every day. Sounds like a shocking statement. But it's true. We can live spirit-filled lives 24/7. Last August, we had a service not unlike this morning's. Our services anymore, when we gather for worship, Holy Spirit breaks out among us and all manner of things go on during that time. And last August, during worship, a lot of things were going on. And Pastor Ben got up here to speak and he said to us, "We have crossed the Jordan this morning. We've crossed into new territory this morning and we are not going back." And we haven't. We have not gone back. We are staying in this place of embracing his presence and embracing whatever he's doing and obeying whatever instructions he gives us at any given time. And during that time, Holy Spirit began showing us about what it means to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. If we're raised with Christ, scriptures say we can be seated with him in heavenly places. And we function from that place. And from that Sunday on, I ended up doing a two-part series called Being Seated with Him in Heavenly Places. And I shared this verse that was part of that lesson, and it's still true and it's relevant to this message, that if we're raised with him, we get to be seated with him. Yes, even while we're still living in this fleshly bodies right here on earth, I get to function from a place of being seated with Jesus. And that means there's an authority, that means every provision that Jesus made for us is for us to function with here on earth. And here's what the verse says. Verses say, this is again Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he said this: "As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." That used to be us. And again, when I say this, and I say this with as much grace as I can, we are imperfect. We're still imperfect. So I'm not coming to you with these verses as a place to say, now that I'm raised with Jesus, I do everything right all the time and I'm perfect. This is not about perfection. This is what, as Gary Sloan says, a progressive transformation. It's a progressive transformation. So we were once on the other side of that. We were obeying the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. We were subject to our enemy's temptations. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And then he says this, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Yeah. We get to live there if we've been raised with him, if we've repented of our sin. If we've received his forgiveness, we get to live there. I remind us of this. Not only does it tie with this message, but it ties with what Holy Spirit is doing among us at this time. Just as crossing the Jordan last August was a pivotal moment in this body, where Holy Spirit says, I'm doing something, and it's tangible, and it's real, and it's transformative for each one of us and for this body. Well, he's doing something in this time right now that is pivotal. I said it last week. Last week, I taught a whole lesson that was a follow-up to Pastor Shane's previous message, the sword that separates. And in the sword that separates, Pastor Shane just humbly and sensitively reminded us, and I brought all this out last week, but I'm bringing out some of it again today because it is so important for us to grasp why being raised with Christ is so important for us to function, as I talked about last week, because you're a lampstand to the people around you. You are shining light to the people around you. It makes a difference. Which means we have to heed, again, Pastor Shane's encouragement and his challenge to us, we have to heed both the kindness he expressed, Jesus expressed to us, the kindness that is in Jesus, but also the severity of dealing with the things that are in our heart that we want to hold on to, whatever that may be. Some besetting sin, some wrong thought, some terrible attitude, some unforgiveness, some bitterness, some anger, some rage, whatever it is, it affects the light that is on our lampstand. I talked about that a lot last week. The Apostle Paul spends quite a bit of time in the book of Romans talking about sin. That it was initiated by one man, Adam, but it was resolved by one man, Jesus. The disobedience, Romans 5:19 says, the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners. By the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners. The actions of Adam in the Garden of Eden. But so also the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. Jesus. But that demands a response from us. It's As much as I love that we have the promise of eternity, of heaven. That is an awesome promise. I won't take anything away from that and that alone, because it's valuable and important. But in these days, if we're raised with Jesus, he has a mandate on us because he wants to use us. We're part of the equation. Part of the equation on how we live and how we function, how we obey. To people who are still being influenced by the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. We get to live differently than that now because we have every provision made for us to do so. So Paul talks a lot about that in Romans, and he says this in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin so that we can live in it. So how can we live in it any longer? How can we live in it any longer when he died for that? We don't have to stay there. We have a better way. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Again, co-buried. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life. We live differently. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Remember, indicative statement, you died. You died. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. We can do the same. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ, to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under law but under grace. I say all of that to say this: if you have been part of this body for any length of time, you know that when we teach, whether it's me or it's Pastor Ben or Pastor Shane or Pastor Mark or Bobby, when we teach, we don't teach a lesson that ends after the lesson is over. If you've been around here for any length of time, you may have picked up on a sense that each lesson sort of intertwines with the next and intertwines with the next and intertwines with the next, because the Lord has given us vision and he has given us assignment to live life on purpose and to present the gospel in a way that is not a week-to-week encounter. It's not a, well, I go out of there, that was nice. That was inspiring. And then we just go back to life as usual. We don't function that way. Now, we understand that there are various people at various places in their walk and understanding. You know, as this young man that I referred to earlier, when he first came back to us and received Jesus, he struggled, and he'll acknowledge that. And he acknowledged that to us, that living life with a new mind is a challenge when you're first getting started. Because you're used to the old life. You're used to the old mind. You're used to doing things. But he's reconciled all of that to say, I'm discovering that this works. And so when we're presenting these messages, we understand that Holy Spirit is weaving these recurring themes. We see it over and over and over again. There's a continuity about what everybody is presenting. And combine that with the outpouring of Holy Spirit among us, that challenges us to live life even more on the edge. That what we encountered last week is not enough for this week. That he's always asking more of us. And if he's asking more of us, he will give us everything we need to do the more. It will never be something we have to do of our flesh, of our own understanding, of our own mind, of our own strength. That won't work anyway. We've never been a body that says, come on in here and get your ears tickled a little bit today. Get your ears tickled a little bit today and then just go on with life. And then live life as usual. Now, reality is you can do that. We will still love you. We've all been loved through the challenges and the transitions that we have gone through in life as we learned how to apply the word and how to apply the voice of Holy Spirit to daily living. So this isn't a message of we're putting condemnation on anybody who isn't at this place yet. Because we've all been there. So it is not a message of walking out of here, boy, I feel condemned today because of this hard word. But sometimes the word is hard. Again, Pastor Shane's word, the sword sometimes cuts. Again, as Pastor Shane said, we can't just embrace the Jesus that says, come on and sit up on my lap and I'll hug you and I'll coddle you and I'll love you and I'll care for you. But forget the Jesus that says, I want to cut that thing out of you that is holding you back from embracing everything I have for you because I have so much more. So just as crossing the Jordan last year, around August, was vital and pivotal for us, I believe we're in another season of pivotal instructions. I told Men of Valor this past week, same old, same old is not a thing around here. Never really has been, but even more so in these days. The sword that separates is still separating. The lampstand where Jesus is strategically placing us is there for us to make a difference. Not only us as a body, but individually. And as I said last week, your individual obedience matters to all of us. To all of us. I said last week, I don't want any dimness in my light to somehow dim Ashley's. And so as each of us has to do, I have to take full responsibility, not for doing everything of my own strength, but for obeying every instruction that I get. The ones that have already been established through the scriptures, Study them to show yourself approved. Pray daily. Pray without ceasing. Worship me in spirit and in truth. And whatever else it instructs us to do, and the Bible is full of it, full of facts about what Jesus has done, indicatives, and then full of imperatives, things we must do in response to those truths. Understanding, again, why did Jesus die on the cross for me? Yes, to forgive me of my sins and to promise me eternal life, but to also say, I want to use you. I want to use you to shine light wherever you happen to be. Because we've been strategically placed as lampstands smack dab middle in the middle of our culture, the mandate on us is to live life differently, intentionally, more submissively, to live as people who have been, in fact, raised with Christ. That's all of us. So we don't come here today just to celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That is awesome, and I'm so grateful for that. But we celebrate because he raised us with him and gave us a purpose and a mission, a way to live on that mission every day. The work Jesus did on Calvary for us, it's a simple equation. He died that you might live. He died that you might live. And that you might live differently because I rescued you from a lot of things. You don't have to live that way anymore. It's a simple equation. So now this has turned into a math discussion. We've gone from grammar to math, all in the same lesson. It's a simple equation. It's a fun equation. If you've never lived for Jesus, you have no idea all the fun you're missing out on. Because it's free. It's free, as Josh Graham told us last week. This is a wild and free place. It's a wild and free place. That has everything to do with the work of Jesus. So it's a simple equation. It's a fun equation. It's a transformative equation. And it's for every one of us. No one is left out of the equation. No one is excluded and no one is exempt. And those are two different things. Some may be sitting there thinking, well, I feel left out. I feel left out somehow. I'm not included in this. I'm not included in that. You're included. And some may say, well, I'm exempting myself from that because I've got it all figured out. I've got the answers. I'm a man. Or as the other half of the room might say, I'm a woman. I'll tell you right now, no one's going to figure it out. If you're one of those sitting in this room and say, I've got it all figured out, you have been lied to. And maybe it's you lying to you. The only thing left is our response. The only thing left is our response to our amazing Savior. And the answer is just what Cliff said here. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Let's stand. We are going to pray today for Trevor and Trishelle. Trevor and Trishelle are leaving Tuesday to begin their, I don't know where they're going directly, but they'll be eventually ending up in Germany. But we're going to pray. We're going to send them off. We're going to send them off. So when we open up things up, come on down, guys. And anybody wants to come around, surround them, pray for them. And if there's anybody else we need to pray for, if you need prayer today, if you want this to be the day where you say yes to Jesus, we'd love to pray with you. If you've already said yes to Jesus, but you struggle as I did those early years with dying to myself, with acknowledging that Galatians 22 applied to me, had to apply to me, even though I couldn't figure out how, we'll pray for you as well. So we're going to open up the altars. They're here. There's people here who'll pray with you if you want that. We're going to have Trevor and Trishelle come on down. And anybody else that wants prayer for something, we don't want this to be Easter as usual. Don't let it be Easter as usual. Let Jesus do a work in you. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you and I praise you. For everybody who walked in this room today to hear your word, to hear your word, I pray your word will cut us. But I pray also for you to wrap your arms around us and love us as only you can do.